We spoke last week on ministry. Today I want to continue in that. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to speak about the role of ministry in spiritual growth. The role of ministry in spiritual growth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Rick Warren said one time, he said, spiritual maturity is never an end in itself. We grow up in order to give out. Amen. So we grow in the Lord so we can bless the kingdom of God. Amen. You were put here as Christians to serve God and to make a contribution. You see, folks, there are things that God has designed specifically for us to do. And they are custom made for each of us. That's why, you know, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. The body is made up of different things, different organs, different cells, all these different things. But they all work together for the benefit of the body, that the body can be functional. And so the way we serve God is by serving others. Amen? It's not attending church. That's just part of what we are to do. I have, Rick Warren also said, if I have no love for others, no desire to serve others, I should question whether Christ is really in my life. So true. See, in the Bible, the words servant and minister are synonymous, just like service and ministry is. The Bible says every Christian is called to service. Regardless of your job or your career, you are called to a full-time Christian service. And there is no such thing as a non-serving Christian. When most people hear the word ministry, they think of pastors and priests and professional clergy. But God says every member of his family is a minister. The beauty of Christianity is that believers have been redeemed for a reason, and that is converted to a cause and saved to serve. All right? We're redeemed for a reason. We're converted to a cause and saved to serve. And we are saved to serve, not to sit around and wait for heaven. Right? Mother Teresa said, holy living consists of doing God's work. Work with a smile. Right? So why should we serve? In Ephesians chapter 2 and 10 it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You have been created for ministry. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I've been reconciled to God for what? For ministry. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that ye may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I've been chosen for ministry. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I have been gifted for ministry. John 20:21, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We have been sent for ministry. Matthew 20:28, your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve. I am commanded to minister. Romans 14:12. So then, each of us will give an account to himself to God. I am accountable for my ministry. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I will be rewarded for my ministry. Amen. That's important, honey. Folks, we need to understand that God expects us to minister and to do His will. So how do I know my unique ministry / service? You have been shaped to serve. Shaped to serve. The word shape, the S stands for spiritual gifts. What am I gifted to do? The H stands for the heart. What do I love to do? The A is abilities. What talents and skills do I have? The P is for personality. What is my unique style? And E is for experiences. How have life's experiences shaped me? Spiritual, heart, abilities, personality, experiences. What God made me to be, or my shape, determines what God intends me to do, my ministry. I'll say that again. What God made me to be, my shape, determines what God intends me to do, my ministry. Amen? Rick Warren said, your ministry will be most effective and fulfilling when you are using your gifts and abilities in the areas of your heart's desire in a way that best expresses your personality and experiences. You see, folks, your primary ministry should be in the areas of your shape. Amen? But your secondary service is whatever you are needed at the moment. Whatever is needed at the moment, I'll help. Your shape reveals your ministry, but your servant heart reveals your maturity. See, no special talent or no special gift is required to stay after a meeting and pick up trash, clean up places. Right? Anyone can be a servant. All it requires is character. So what do I need to know about my spiritual gifts? You see, a spiritual gift is the supernatural ability to carry out the work of Christ through His church. It is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer at their conversion. Why? To be used to minister to other people. So therefore, extends and deepens the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. The Lord did whatever. Somebody came to Him, He met the need. I'll go to your house. You don't need to go to the house. Speak the word. All these different kind of things that the Lord did, He was wanting to be a blessing and a help. You see, folks, important principles of spiritual gifting that we need to keep in mind is only people with God's Spirit have spiritual gifts. Every Christian has at least one gift. The Holy Spirit decides what gift we get. And no one receives all the gifts. No single gift is given to everyone. You can't earn spiritual gifts. So I am to use the gift that God gives me. It is a sin to hide the gift that God gave me. Right? Using my gift glorifies God. And that's what we're supposed to do in everything we do. Right? We live the life that we live. We are a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. All these things, they glorify God through us. So my gift is not for my benefit, but my gift is for the church's benefit. Each gift is given to us to produce unity, to produce maturity in our church and our family. No gift that is better than any other, and spiritual gifts are all about God, the giver. He knows them, He gives them to us, and He expects us to use them. So as recipients of the spiritual gifts, we need to understand them, discover them, and use them. And the most effective way to discover your spiritual gift is to actually start serving and getting involved in ministry. Right? You are never going to know what you are good at until you try it. What should be my attitude for ministry? What should it be? Jesus is our role model. He's a minister, servant. You can read that in John. But in this passage, Jesus washes the disciples' feet in John 13. And in doing so, teaches us a powerful lesson on servanthood. You see, here's the key that unlocks the door of truthful ministry and a fulfilling of his love, of fulfilling of Jesus' life or our lives. It empowers you. It empowers me to serve with joy and not lose our passion for ministry. So what do you need to know in order to take the place of a servant and follow the example that Jesus gives in this chapter? Know who you are in God. Amen? You see, if we don't know who we are in God, we will spend most of our energy doing things to define our identity. And tragically, folks, nothing we can do, nothing that we can attain, or no honor, no accomplishments, no amount of human recognition can adequately define our identity. You say, well, why, Pastor? Because, see, your identity is not found in what you do, but in whom you are by the grace of God. Paul spends so much time in the first half of the Ephesians explaining to those believers who they are in Christ. You see, folks, we do not minister in order to find out who we are. We minister out of who we are. The first thing you and I need to have as a foundation for effective ministry is a revelation of who we are in our God. Who we are in God. See, Jesus bows before the disciples and he washes their feet. Why hadn't one of the disciples done that? Well, we have a clue from Luke 22 because Luke tells us about an argument that those amongst them who was the greatest in the kingdom. They didn't know who they were in Jesus Christ. But he knew who he was. Amen? He knew who he was. I'm the creator. He was the creator of heaven and earth, of everything. He knew who he was. I'm going to bow down and wash their feet. But they were arguing amongst who they were, who was going to sit at the right hand, all that. And when we look at that in our life and we know who we are outside of Jesus, many times that can... We can think that's lowly of us to be a servant. Or it's lowly of me to worship and service and jump around and run around the building. You see, in the context of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, John makes this comment in verse 3. He said, Jesus knew. In John 13, verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. And that he had come from God and was returning to God. He knew who he was. The Father had put all things under his power. And that he came from heaven. He was returning to God. Amen? Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, folks. It looked like 13 helpless men hiding from the wrath of the fury of the religious hierarchy and the Roman might and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, gathered in that tiny upper room, folks, was the power center of the universe. You see, when we know who we are in God, when we know that we are a child of the King, amen, when he is the God of grace and mercy, and you can just go on and all the attributes that God is, when you know that he is your God, you know who you are in him, you can serve others. All power in heaven and earth belong to Jesus. He was not the helpless victim of some sinister plot to kill him. He was the willing, voluntary lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They would have not have taken him if he didn't want to. He was not acting on his own initiative alone. He came, folks, with a specific mission to accomplish. And God has a mission for every human being. See, you will find no greater satisfaction in life than to discover that mission, to discover that mission and pursue it with all of your heart. This is what God wants me to be. I'm going to be it with the best ability I am able to do. Amen. You see, folks, being sent implies a backing. If God is going to send you, He's going to back you. Amen. Being sent implies a backing. When you and I are operating in obedience to the Holy Ghost, you've got backing that is out of this world. One of the greatest themes in the Gospel of John is the sense of mission and commission in Jesus. Amen. John 20, 21. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Amen. He's sending us. Do you want to allow God to fulfill His mission through you? Jesus also knew where He's going. In verse, Jesus knew the Father had put all things under His power, right? He knew He had come from God. He knew He was returning to God. So soon we are going to see the King. We're going to see the rapture take place soon. I believe that. Amen. Does the truth of that grip your heart? Does that fortify your integrity and who you are? Do you know where we're going? I know where I'm going. I'm planning on making heaven my home. I'm going. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And I'm going to try to take everybody I can with me. Amen. Does the fact that this life is but a vapor compared to eternity keep problems in perspective? Think about it. Vapor is gone just like that. When problems come, do we let it really bog us down and worry us and we wring our hands and just drives us crazy? Life is but a vapor. I know where I'm going. He's got my back. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Nothing we do for Him is in vain. Nothing. Know who you are serving, folks. Know who you're serving. Praise the Lord. John 13, 1. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. See, folks, listen, love is one of the most amazing dynamics there is. In a way, it defies explanation. Love will cause a person to sacrifice personal comfort and gain for the well-being of somebody else. Love motivated Jesus to pay the ultimate price for our redemption. But how can I love stinky, selfish, rebellious people enough to serve them? Love is the motive for service. But how do we get motivated that way? You see, I need, folks, you need the influence of the Holy Spirit shedding God's love through my heart. Without it, we can't love like we're supposed to love. That Spirit of God in us, amen, is that driving force in us. Without God, I cannot truly love other people. Service is the pathway of real significance. Real servants, hear me tonight, real servants serve God with a mindset that says they think more about others than themselves. They think like stewards, not owners. They think about their work, not what others are doing. They base their identity in Christ, and they think of ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation. I'll read them again, okay? That's because that's good. They think more about others than themselves. This is the mindset that we have if we're real servants of God. They think more about others than themselves. They think like stewards, not owners. They think about their work, not what others are doing. They base their identity in Christ. They think of ministry as an opportunity, not an obligation. Amen? We need to have that kind of mindset. A servant, a real servant that serves God, that's the mindset that we need to have. So how can I recognize a real servant's heart? A real servant are as they do. Real servants are as they do. They make themselves available to serve. You ever see those people that when somebody, when work, it's time to work, they disappear? A real servant makes themselves available. If you only serve when it's convenient to you, you are not a real servant. You must allow your schedule to be interrupted by God whenever He needs to. See, a lot of times, and I think that's one of the biggest problems in Christianity today, is the fact that when God wants something done, well, I'm too busy right now. You got to wait. Amen? Somebody calls you and, you know, or wants you to do something. Well, when I'm available, I'll help you. But see, when God wants to interrupt your schedule. But Pastor, listen, folks, God knows your schedule better than you do. And He thinks it's okay to interrupt you. So if He says, okay, hey, I need you to do this, okay, God. When God puts someone, you see, folks, we have to pay attention to people's needs. We have to pay attention to needs. It's kind of like knowing your surroundings. Amen? If we're servants, then we need to pay attention to needs. When God puts someone in need right in front of you, He has given you an opportunity to grow in servanthood. So, great opportunities for servanthood pass quickly. And sometimes they never return again. And we may miss many of these opportunities. Why? Because we lack sensitivity. We lack spontaneity. That's what it is. I got it. I've said this many times. I believe the window of opportunity, sometimes we miss it because we didn't recognize it. And oftentimes we're too busy with our own. Because servants do their best with what they have. Well, I can't help anybody. Well, apparently God thinks you can. I'm sure that little boy who walked to hear Jesus with his loaves and fishes didn't think that he had much of anything. But God was able to use that. God was able to use what He had. And God took what He had, folks, and multiplied it. What a miracle. And we have the opportunity to be a part of miracles like that. But too often we're worried about what little we have. So we have to learn to do the best with what we have. God expects you to do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Amen? You see, it doesn't have to be perfect for God to use and bless. And servants also do every task with equal dedication. You see, God will never exempt you from the mundane. It's a vital part of your character curriculum. Because God says, look, I want you to do it because I know you'll do it with the best that you have. If I give it to so-and-so here, they do it half-hearted. And I need to be done thoroughly. The little things in life determine the big things, folks. When we are faithful in the small things, God will bless us in greater things. Mother Teresa said, I don't do any great thing. I do small things with great love. Servants are faithful to their ministry. That's so important, to be faithful to your ministry. So many people today, they must have a book on excuses because they got one for everything. Right? I believe the devil will give you one. If you don't have one, he'll come up with one for you. As long as you don't do what God wants you to do. We have to be faithful to our ministry. A servant keeps their promises. They fulfill their responsibilities. And they don't quit when they are discouraged. We have to, as servants, fulfill our promises. Fulfill your responsibilities and never quit. Servants, they serve faithfully as long as they're alive. You will never retire. Hear me. You will never retire from serving God. Servants, maintain a low profile. Just like the hidden parts of your body that are vital and indispensable, the most significant service is often the service that is unseen. Servants, they don't serve for the approval and they don't allow the spotlight to distract them from their work. Well, Pastor, how can I serve effectively? Learn to serve like Jesus. How did Jesus serve? That's how I want to be. You know, one of the ways Jesus served was be available. Be available. Matthew 20, 30 through 32. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and they heard that Jesus was going by. They shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. And they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And guess what? Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. What do you want me to do? He was serving. Two blind men, they shouted, got the Lord's attention, and he said, what do you want me to do for you? Proverbs 3, verse 28. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later. I'll give it tomorrow when you now have it with you. Take the time. Amen? Be there. Be available. And then we have to be bearers to availability. We can't have self-centeredness. Philippians 2, 4 says, don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Right? Perfectionism. Ecclesiastes 11, 4. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Many people are looking for the perfect time. Let me tell you something. It's mostly not hardly ever the perfect time. Why couldn't this happen some other time? I'm so busy. I've caught myself saying that. You know, when it rains, it pours. We can't wait for the perfect time. Materialism. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay? Most of the time, folks, it's not going to be there. Money. Let God bless you. Let God take care of you. You just do for God. We have to be grateful. Psalms 102, serve the Lord with gladness. 2 Timothy 1:9, it is He who saved us and chose us for His holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan long before the world began, to show His love and kindness to us through Christ. Be grateful to God. He gives you the opportunity to serve Him. Okay? We have to be bearers of gratefulness, bearers to gratefulness. Okay? You have comparison and criticism. Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." The God's Word edition says it this way: "Who are you to criticize someone else's servant? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful." We can't compare ourselves to others, and we definitely don't want to criticize others. Amen? What about wrong motives? Matthew 6:1, "Take care. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired, for then you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven." Okay? What is your motive in doing this? What is your motive in helping somebody? Are you doing it to get recognition? Well, if you're doing it for that reason, God is not going to bless you for it. Amen? Be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. "Moreover, it is essentially required that stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust." Matthew 25:21. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." All right. Also, folks, we have to apply these things to your life. Explore responsibility. Study the scripture. Read books about it. Talk to people who you believe are gifted in the areas that you want to explore. Another thing is examine your motives and your feelings. When you enjoy doing something, you usually do a better job at it. Right? So if you're doing something you don't necessarily enjoy, look for something else to do. But at least just be a servant. Amen? And if there's a reason that you can't get out of it, tell God about it. God sent somebody to do this job so that I can go do this. Come on. The Holy Spirit will generally match spiritual gifts with your temperament, with your abilities, with your personality and experiences, so that you will say, "This is what I really enjoy doing. I'd rather be doing this than anything else." The Bible promises you in Psalms 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Elevate your effectiveness. Whatever you can do, make yourself more valuable. What is God accomplishing through you? Where are you effective in helping people? Where are you getting positive feedback? You see, begin taking simple steps toward serving God. Ask God to bring you someone who you can serve. Determine to take action on the direction that the Holy Ghost gives you. Take some time to reflect on the acts of service that you do. And ask yourself these questions. Am I serving a genuine need or serving my own needs to serve? In my service, am I seeking to gain control, merit, or appreciation for myself with this person or with God? Ask God to help you to be aware of your motives, to be aware of your actions. At the same time, He is empowering you to be free as you grow in service. Service flows naturally out of a love relationship with God. Amen? Let the Spirit draw you from worshiping into service. We all like to worship, but let that Spirit draw you into service and give you fresh motivation for ministry and for God's mission. Develop a plan to sincerely desire and seek spiritual gifts to exercise in service. And the content of ministry seems to prioritize the ministering in spiritual things, not just practical things. You see, folks, ministry can and should include ministering to the physical, emotional, mental, vocational, and financial needs of others. And Jesus did. He did these things. We should also. Amen. Let's stand. I want to encourage us to be what God wants us to be. And I believe that God wants all of us to be ministers. Amen. And folks, you're cheating yourself if you won't allow yourself to minister for the things of God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we appreciate you. We ask you to bless each one here tonight. Help us to apply this to our lives. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.